The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes they're friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie where a young, spry 43-year-old Fred Ward is taught the ways of life by ancient, old, wise men like 51-year-old Wilford Brimley and 53-year-old playing a Korean guy? Playing like an 85 Korean guy? Joel Grey?
The one where training to become an assassin includes dodging bullets, running so fast you float, and diving into piles of sand for some reason.
The movie where big-time producers wanted to start a giant franchise that would take over the American box office. This is Warcraft. I mean, Aragon. I mean, John Carter. I mean, Wild Wild West. I mean, Jupiter Ascending. I mean, The Lone Ranger. I mean, Prince of Persia. I mean, The Dark Universe. I mean, that's Remo Williams. The Adventure Begins.
They were so confident that they called it The Adventure Begins.
They thought that adventure was continuing.
Because it they're like...
Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1980s one by one, or at least that's what we used to do.
Yeah, we're in the sweet spot now. We're in like a...
We're in the just have fun spot.
Yeah, exactly. Before we get into the 90s, we're covering some of the movies that are some of our previous guests have really wanted to talk about.
That's right. So we have, once again, BT-Dub, if you aren't already aware, EG Sites.
Francisco Landin.
And we've invited a guest back for, I don't know, the third or fourth time with
second
one of his...
Second time.
Yeah, he only did one.
Third or fourth time.
You guys are really doing the 90s after this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the 90s?
Well, no.
The top 100.
The top 100 again.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's going to be some... There's some doozies in there.
There are some doozies.
All right.
But yeah, Chris, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me back.
So you picked this movie.
I know. This is my favorite movie of all time.
What movie are we doing today?
Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins.
And let's rewind like 3 seconds. What'd you say before that?
I have no idea.
This is my favorite movie
of all time. You know, people ask you, what's your favorite movie? I have a list of five, maybe three. Three for sure.
And this is the top of the top.
This is at the tippy top.
Amazing.
Imagine what the other two are.
Also,
I'm going to say, based on this movie...
We already talked about my third one earlier.
Rambo First Blood Part 2?
Nope. Before we started recording.
Oh, just like in shit talking.
Mm-hmm.
Die Hard?
No, we're talking about Reno.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about Reno. So it was Roger Howard. That's right. It's a Blind Fury.
Blind Fury is number three.
Blind Fury is pretty cool. Three, yeah. Blind Fury is pretty cool.
And I'm sure you guys have already covered my second favorite movie of all time. It's an 80s movie.
It also
has Stallone.
Oh, it's not Tango and Cash, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay, because I thought maybe.
That's like Cobra. Number six.
Cobra?
No.
Stop for my bubble shit?
The 80s.
That's a terrible movie, too.
No, that's a bad movie. 80s Stallone.
I met the guy that wrote that movie. I met the guy that wrote Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Were you like,
I had lunch
fuck,
with him,
dude?
Like a group, and then like a week later, he died.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
man, weird. Did you guys step on the dog?
No. She just heard something outside.
Oh, all right. All right. Dog is a part of this now, I guess.
All right, so we've got Blind Fury at number three.
Uh-huh.
We already know that number one spot.
Yep.
Remo Williams.
Number two.
Remo Williams.
It's going to be a Stallone flick from the 80s that's not Cobra.
It's
not Tango and Cash.
It makes you cry every time you watch it.
One of the Rockies, clearly.
Probably, right?
Rockies.
Not a Rocky.
That's not
movie.
Rocky. Is it First Blood?
There is sports First Blood in it. There's a sport
oh
in it.
Oh, my God. Is it the soccer one?
No, it's not the soccer one.
It's not the soccer one.
Is it Death Race?
Has a soundtrack by Sammy Hagar.
By what?
Sammy Hagar did the soundtrack.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Over the Top.
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Okay, when you said sports...
Arm wrestling. Very, underground loose, arm wrestling. How is under,
loose,
arm,
oh my God.
How is underground arm wrestling not a sport?
When you said sport.
I mean, look.
That was a curveball.
Have you not been to an arm wrestling tournament?
Curveball.
He goes from man to machine. That's very
true.
He arm wrestles for custody.
It's like
of
a
son.
Switch. Yeah, it makes you cry every time at the end. When his son is proud of his dad for winning. Oh my goodness. After the mom dies and... And whoa, Robert Loggia is in it.
Robert Loggia is in it.
Yeah.
He's the general grandfather.
Yeah, he's the grandfather that wants custody of the son.
Yeah. Every time. Thinking about it, I'm tearing
you're
up.
You're tearing up right now? Yeah. Oh, my God. Over the Top. How do we not
I didn't
come
know
up with
that I could find someone
top.
Who loved bad 80s, like, terrible action movies more than I do, but we found him.
Oh yeah, definitely me.
Yeah, yeah. Especially because you had never seen this movie, or at least don't remember seeing
that's
the
true.
Whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing this movie ever.
Yeah. I've seen this a million times.
Yeah, I mean, you're the only one that had it.
Yeah, you're the only one.
I asked everybody.
You're also the only one that's seen it more than like three times in the world.
That's not true.
But to be fair, like I was saying, Fred, if I had seen this movie... If I would have, if
you've
I
seen,
had
a, I think you've probably seen this movie more time than the director did in the editing bay, for being real.
Well, yeah.
When we were kids, we used to go to the swap meet and then just buy like a VHS with three movies in it. And then you go home. If one of these had, if VHS had this movie, I would have watched it a million times as well. It's pretty fun.
My grandmother had a friend. Fun. My grandmother had a friend that had like all the TV channels, and he would record movies off the TV for my grandmother.
Yeah.
So I think this is one of the
one
movies.
Of those old VHS copies.
And she just has VHS tapes, stacks of them.
Yeah, I finally threw. I had the same thing. I had like a box of just recorded movies. It was like T2 and like the first
TV.
Predator and stuff off of TV. I finally threw those away the other day.
A long time ago, I threw away everything, but I kind of wish that I had kept it. First of all, for commercials.
Yeah, the old commercials are pretty crazy. Yeah.
But also, I used to have VHS and VHS of old Conan. Because I record Conan all the time, and I wish... Although he's supposed to release the library.
Yeah. Yeah, that was supposed to happen like 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what's happening with that. Apple Plus or whatever?
Probably. It's going to be one
of the... It's on the TBS app.
Something's app. Yeah.
It's on the TBS app. That's coming.
Right? Yeah, that TBS
app. Which this movie should also be on, because this movie used to be on TBS all the time.
All the time. I believe it. I believe it. This all, so, it has no cussing.
It has no cussing. It has no tits. It has very little violence, really.
Yeah.
Like, no blood, really.
Except when he pokes his finger through that guy's eye.
Yeah, you see a little blood there. But even that, because he's wearing the mask.
Or the guy that blows his face off with the shell, the defective shell.
Yeah.
But even that,
even that's
TV,
pretty minor.
That's TV
violence.
That's TV
violence.
Right. It was,
yeah.
Well, this it was supposed to be a TV pilot.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So they were, well, they were trying to do a couple of things with this movie.
The Adventure Begins.
So this movie was either the beginning of a film franchise or a TV franchise, depending on how well it did. And instead, it became the beginning of a nothing franchise.
It made $3 million in the box office.
Ooh, pretty rough.
$3 million. That's pretty nice.
I mean, that would be nice for...
And $85.
Right. Yep.
And $85. I think that's really funny. There's a scene in the movie where they're talking about...
Inflation
from 83 to 85.
Not very much.
What happened in those years to the American dollar where they have to reference in $83?
In $83,
yeah.
Well, I kind of wish this movie would have been set in the future a little bit. Because I feel like you could get away with a lot more technology stuff.
True.
I mean, they do already.
Yeah, the Wilford Brimley's computer is not a real thing.
It's smarter than any computer now.
It really is.
Yeah.
And the resolution's way better.
The resolution.
Yeah,
it'll
just unfold the switch, start
video,
playing TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was not a thing.
Old computers had like the fucking...
Yeah.
Like,
he would have been just typing in, you know, DOS.
Yeah, green. It's just green fucking
green
screen
fonts,
and shit.
Right.
Yeah.
So... I feel like we need to really dig into this movie, though, because most of our audience, I'm guessing, has not seen it.
Or they haven't seen it in a while.
Or they haven't seen it in a very long time.
That's
so,
a shame.
This is
yep.
So let's start at the beginning. We're introduced to this very adventurous score over just like the opening of a Dirty Harry movie.
Yeah, it's a lot of TV, like sweeping New York shots.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And
because the city is one of the characters,
it's definitely not.
It's
definitely
not. No, it really
way.
Isn't. It really like, isn't.
Specific
no way
things
one of the characters.
Yeah, it's not.
So
just kidding. Just kidding.
We're introduced to our hero. He's not Reuben Williams yet.
No, because his face is all weird.
Yeah. Well, and he's detective something or another. And he's rocking a dope mustache.
He's a patrolman. And he's just hanging out in his car.
That's right.
He's
not a detective.
Donuts or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it because he's like 45 years old.
Right.
But he's like a beat cop.
Sure.
And he's got like a fake nose. Well, we know it's a fake nose, but he's got like a weird nose and a mustache. So
he looks good.
Looks like Fred
his
Ward.
His hair is slicked back.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like a different guy.
And then he goes in and tries to arrest these three guys. They get the drop on him, and then he fights all three dudes off.
Well, he sees two guys, like, beating up another guy, goes to stop it. Turns out they're all in cahoots or something.
You're just, like,
and they jump him, and then he, like, ends up beating all three of them.
This might have been one of those 80s fear things where they're, like, they're just pretending to fight till a cop shows up, and then they kill that cop.
Right, right.
And then they can be in a gang.
It's, I mean, it's, like I said, with the, like, the Dirty Harry thing, this is a classic.
Urban crime is out of control.
Yeah. He goes in, he fights these fucking dudes, he kicks their ass.
And that's a full out fist fight. It's nothing else but a fist fight.
Yeah, no, it's brutal. Oh, yeah. It's pretty brutal, yeah. So he takes some lumps. He's not a master yet of whatever made up martial art bullshit Tsunanji. They come up with. Yeah, Tsunanji.
Yeah.
So he takes his lumps, but he also
come on.
Tsunanji, yeah. So he ends up winning though, but then when he goes back to his car, a dump truck or some other big semi drives him into the lake.
With one awesomely dressed J.A. Preston.
That's right.
Just like in sunglasses and a hat. It's fucking cool looking.
Right. Yeah. He kind of dressed like Inspector Gadget.
He dresses a lot like Inspector Gadget.
Yeah. But he's got the suit on underneath it, so it kind of like...
That's cool. It's New York. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he dump trucks him into the ocean.
Right.
Into the river.
The river.
And then you're like, oh, this is a crazy... Like, how's old...
What a turn of events.
Old Fred going to get out of this one?
He doesn't.
He doesn't. No.
Cut to his fucking funeral.
Yeah.
Right away.
How crazy is that?
Yeah.
They kill off the main character immediately.
Immediately. Take that, Game of Thrones. It took you 9 episodes. Yeah. They do that shit in less than 9 minutes.
J.A. Preston is there watching his handiwork at the funeral.
Which, as you said, while we were watching...
It's a funny thing. It's a funny thing to show up at a
funeral of a guy you killed.
It's again one of those things that happens in movies that I think is a funny cliche.
Right.
What's the point? What is he there for? He's just there to show up to make sure that the funeral happens.
He's seen it through to the end. He's very thorough.
Yeah. But according to Wilfred Brimley, his computer can tell you when people are eating dinner and shit.
That's right.
We haven't met the computer yet.
Yeah, we haven't met the computer.
We haven't met the computer yet, but it turns out that computer, all the stuff that we're afraid of computers doing now, Wilfred Brimley's computer was doing in 1985.
Yep. Also, if you want a super high-tech guy, you go to a very old man.
That's right. That's right.
He doesn't know how to tie a tie.
He talks a lot about killing himself.
I was thinking about this in the last 5 minutes since we haven't seen the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was wearing the same thing in every scene.
It was pretty much.
Yeah. So I wonder if that was his way of differentiating the scenes.
It's the ties, absolutely.
No, my tie is halfway done this time.
Yeah.
Now it's up all the way.
Do you think it was 2 days or 1 day? Did they knock that out on one day?
He probably did an afternoon. Yeah. Probably did an afternoon. He was tired.
Just, okay, this scene, take your tie off. All right. Now put the tie back on. All right. 3 scenes. We got it.
He showed up bright and early at like 9.
Yeah. Yep.
He had dinner at 2 lined up. He had to get out of there by 2.
Get out of there, man.
And then in bed by 4.
Yep.
Yep.
Cocoon. Wilfred
Brimley, it's important for us to note, is only 51 in this movie.
And look him up. Still
very much alive.
Yeah,
and has not changed in appearance in any way since 1963.
No.
So
he was 51. That's fucking crazy. We're talking about Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson was already like 54 when he did Taken. Like,
oh no, he was like 60 when he did Taken. Yeah.
Wilfred Brimley's 10 years younger than him.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh man.
Yeah. Tom Cruise is 65. He's jumping out of airplanes and fucking fighting 3 dudes at the
same
time.
He's not 65. He's like 52, isn't he?
No, dude. Tom Cruise is old.
No, he's like 58 or something.
Right? I don't know. He's not 65, but he's definitely getting
up there. But Stallone is like 70.
Yeah, Stallone is like
92.
Yes. But Stallone, Stallone's on a different playing field.
Yeah, no, he's just made of concrete.
Yes, exactly.
And horse steroids.
Yeah. He's concrete and horse steroids at this point.
Mushed together.
Yeah.
So anyway, Fred Ward wakes up and he's like, what happened to my beautiful face?
Yeah. Well, what'd you do to my mustache? It's 1985.
His mustache is gone. Yeah, exactly.
How am I going to get laid without a mustache?
No sideburns, no mustache. What the fuck? What I'm the a monster.
Look insane.
So McCleary shows up. Yeah, so then McCleary shows up, and then he's the guy that killed him.
And he's telling him, he's like, you've been recruited. Mm-hmm. You're going to join this top secret
so far so good
program.
Right?
And he's like, we thought this out thoroughly. And this is one of the funny parts. He's like, we've even come up, we got a new face, and you got a new name. And he looks at the bottom of the bedpan, and he pulls in the name Remo Williams off the bottom of this bedpan.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, really funny.
It's pretty funny. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
He named after a bedpan. Come on.
Remo is a cool name, though.
Remo is a cool name. So at this point I'm expecting like, oh, so this is like some Men in Black shit or something, right? Like there's this whole secret organization.
It's been done a lot.
They've got like, yeah, well, I mean, but I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like, yeah, they're going to have like fucking pulling out crazy cars and they're going to have hideouts everywhere. No, it's 3 dudes.
It's 3 dudes.
It's 3 fucking dudes.
3 dudes in the basement
of a shitty basement of a bank apartment.
And
one supercomputer.
Yep.
Which I wish that the supercomputer would have had a name and a personality.
Yes.
It would have been
fact, you could have just gotten rid of Wilford Brimley. Or,
no,
you're right. You keep Wilford Brimley.
Yeah. Take that back right now.
But you add, you get like a, I mean, nowadays you'd get like an Alan Tudyk, but maybe back then you'd get like
somebody to do a cool voice.
Like, yeah, like a Ted Danson or something to do the voice of the computer.
Hey, yo, I'm a computer.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be perfect.
If
or maybe you get like a lady. And then her and Wilford Brimley.
You make a little a lady computer?
Yeah, oh, lady computer, yeah.
Like
no,
Polly
and you're talking about Wilford Brimley having an affair with a computer.
yes, I am.
What?
It's better than him having an affair with a human woman.
They even have like mice.
I don't
want
to imagine that.
Yeah, I was just like, what is he going to do? There's like it's a 3x5 floppy disk slot. What's going on here?
Can't do anything to it. You know, if you make...
Computers were much bigger back then.
I guess
who
they were warm. I guess you could cuddle up with the warm computer.
You go to like the big, like the giant...
Yeah, you go to the big tower.
The big towers that they have. Those are hot.
Exactly. Those are hot.
If you make a cartoon of Remo Williams, it 100% has a sassy computer.
Oh, yeah.
A talking sassy computer.
Talking sassy computer sidekick.
Because you have to have like the Slimer type of like snarf.
Your snarf. Yeah.
Which, now I kind of wish they had a Remo Williams
cartoon. A Remo Williams cartoon actually would be pretty great.
Actually, it sounds really good.
Or you could have also given him an animal sidekick.
Yeah.
Which was missing from this film, for sure.
An animal sidekick?
There was plenty of animal action in this movie.
There is. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Animal.
We'll get to it.
Yeah.
So, Wilford Brimley and...
what if one of those dogs was his sidekick?
I mean, I think at the, it should have been,
totally
right?
You could totally do that. Yeah.
We'll get there.
We could totally do that. But also Chung, right?
Chung, yeah.
Yeah.
Chung.
He like shows up on enough to be like a cool little sidekick type.
He's not enough, but he's the mentor. We need like a cutesy sidekick.
You're right. Yeah.
The way that we gotta sell plushies, man.
Splinter wasn't
in
the
sell
mission.
Plushies, yeah.
Splinter was just like afterwards and
before. Right.
Yeah.
Splinter doesn't go on missions, Professor X doesn't go on missions.
Yeah.
This shit just is the way it is.
You're correct.
Right. He finds out this is top secret organization that is funded by the government and does the jobs that no one else can do is just
which is killing
dudes.
People. Also, the jobs are assassinating people.
They're assassinating
and making it look like accidents.
Right.
We don't learn that till after.
Kind of, yeah.
We meet Chun for the first
time. That's true. So let's talk about that.
That's mission number one.
Mission number one, he's told to go into this building and kill the guy inside.
They build up this guy like a crime boss guy.
Right.
They're like, you got to find the guy and kill him.
Although he's pretty easy to convince. If we're being real about it, they're just like, hey, you're dead now. You have to do what we're saying. He's like, what if I just don't want to do that? And they're like, you have to. You're dead now.
He steals an ambulance.
Yeah, and the guy's there with a gun.
And then our good friend.
Old One Arm. we don't know that yet.
McCleary,
yeah.
No.
You're talking about Reginald Vell Johnson shows up.
Reginald Vell
Johnson has one line in this movie. He's like a paramedic who's unloading the ambulance when Fred Ward steals it.
Yeah, and he looks like Reginald Johnson in every fucking 80s movie.
Yeah,
because
it's
like
Reginald Johnson.
Yeah.
But he's a paramedic in this one.
Still in blue, though.
Still
I feel like
close.
They just
close.
Took some stuff off of... He got off of Die Hard and they took some stuff off of his uniform and they're like, yeah, just do the line.
Yeah, took a couple things off, gave him like some medicine stuff and we're like, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
He steals in the ambulance and then... Then he's like, all right, fuck it. I'm a part of your organization now.
Right.
I'm going to go in there and kill that guy. And then he wanders into this cool building basement. I mean, in New York. There was a lot of square footage
roomy.
In that thing.
It's pretty roomy.
There's a lot of square footage.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. That's a bodega now.
No, I still think it's a
no. Yeah, that place has definitely been rebuilt, though. And it's like $1 million to live in that apartment. Yeah.
I was just in New York.
Depends on where.
At the end of the year last year, before all this
before,
malarkey.
Before the COVID?
Before all the malarkey.
We're not allowed in New York anymore.
Maybe in it's 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Fingers
crossed. Oh, are we finally going to get like Escape from New York time? Where like no one in, no one out of New York?
Oh, shit. Until the president's daughter gets kidnapped?
But
everybody inside New York are normal people, and everybody on the outside are the
Is it crazy people?
Crazy criminals?
Yeah. Twist.
Oh, 2020. Another twist.
We were wrong the whole time.
Yeah. But it's a cool little basement. And
it is.
Yeah, it's fine.
And you just walk in, and there's Joel Grey sitting right there.
Right. This old Korean man.
Yeah.
Played by Joel Grey.
Definitely Korean. Definitely 80-year-old Korean man.
There's an 85-year-old Korean man played by 53-year-old Joel Grey.
Who's a white man.
Who's not Korean.
Who's a white man, yeah,
and for sure. Not Asian.
It's just more of the Asian washing that Hollywood does.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
but,
look,
but he
knocks it out of
the park. It's
the 80s. I mean,
well, he's a really good performer.
He's actually, he's great in the role.
Like, he does a really good job. Look, he was nominated for a Golden Globe.
Right? He is nominated for a Golden Globe. Look, obviously we wouldn't do that today. We're not excusing it or whatever, but hey, it happened.
Everybody still loves Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah. No, they don't.
No, they don't. But it's still kind of happening today, which is sad.
Yeah.
Ghosts in the Water? Nope.
Ghost in the Shell?
Ghost in the Shell. You got
Lady in the Water? What are you talking about?
Lady in the Water Shell.
Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, Ghost in the Shell. Yeah, that, yeah, that was shells. A big deal. That was a big deal. Also,
Tilda Swinton and the Doctor Strange thing, but that was, I mean, we know why that was.
Hilary Swank in Karate Kid Part 4.
That's true.
Every cartoon that has any Asian character, like, ever.
Right.
They're all just white
dudes. Poor Asians. Poor Asians.
Yeah.
So anyway.
But he shows up and he's like.
Except for Donnie Brasco. I'm going to go find it down. Rufio, you know.
Oh, Rufio.
That dude does voice work.
Oh, does he?
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good.
That's good.
So he goes in there and he's like, I'm going to find this guy. And then Chung is like, I'm the only one here.
Yeah. And so
he's like, oh, I got to kill you. All right, I'll shoot you in the face, I guess.
So he shoots him. He dodges the bullets. He dodges all the bullets.
And the bullets he doesn't dodge, he grabs a gun and he does that clip popping out thing,
picking up
the bullets.
And then puts
that's the best part because we've seen the pop the clip out bit. Like, there's been a million martial art movies that have done that. But to pop the clip out, take the bullets out, and then put the clip back in,
pretty dope.
That's baller. That's baller.
Definitely baller. Yeah.
He does a very cool thing, which is Remo keeps trying to kick his ass. Keeps getting his ass kicked, but he keeps making a
Remo
mess.
Remo is,
and,
by
and
the way.
Chung just keeps cleaning up the mess.
This is a problem that I did.
Cool.
Yeah, that is pretty
it's
awesome.
It's very emasculating.
Yes. that part is very, very good. Yeah. This does bother me a little bit because this is one of those classic things where we just saw Remo Williams fight a bunch of guys and he knew what he was doing. And now he is flailing around like a 3-year-old.
They're using his energy against him, his fight against him.
No.
ends up headfirst in a piano.
Well, you know, he's fighting some thugs in the street. Now he's fighting the Tsunanji master.
Still.
Tsunanji.
This is the master of Tsunanji.
Yeah. I don't know if you know much about Tsunanji.
I mean, I've only a yellow
made
belt
up,
in
it's
Tsunanji,
a made-up martial arts. But still, Joel Grey, this non-Korean, is the master of it.
He's a master of it. Yep.
Non-Korean is master of a fake martial art. So.
Yep.
McCleary comes in.
That's right.
And we think he's going to finish the job because he told him. And he's like, nope. What do you think of this new recruit? And John is like, he's slow. He's dumb. And
he's the worst. He's too old to start the trade.
But he's got some potential. He's got potential.
Yeah. He can get him. I think he says he can train him in 15 years.
Yeah, he said 15 years, right?
14 and a half.
If he
cuts some corners.
That's right. That's actually, he doesn't even say that yet. He says that after training him for a month.
No, he says that after Remo can float.
That's right.
He says after diving into
after
the
Remo
sand,
can
yeah.
fly, he's yeah. like, ah, we're almost there. Only 15 years to go.
And I was like, he can already float. Oh, he can already dodge bullets.
He can dodge bullets.
And
he can
already
float.
Because he already, like, he can hear his tendon or whatever he
yeah.
said before
he pulls
a gun.
He can climb up shit and, yeah, all that. Super hearing.
The metacarpal.
So, this is an issue with
the metacarpal, yeah.
This is an issue I have with this movie. Is I feel like this movie doesn't know exactly what it wants to be. Is it an adventure movie for kids? Is it trying to be realistic? Is it a gritty urban movie about assassins? Is it a movie about ninjas doing magic?
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
It's got a lot of that.
It's got all that, but I really wanted, after we saw him fucking float across the sand.
He was running really fast.
And we see the bit in, we're about to get to it, but the bit in the Statue of Liberty where he basically does the replacement jutsu from Naruto. I was like, oh, they're just, like, we're going to get some, like, Crouching Tiger, Wire Fu bullshit going on. And they never go that far.
Yeah, well, it was the 80s.
Like, you could have gone farther, is what you're
You could have gone farther.
You could have thrown a monster in there, maybe?
It's something, sure.
Like a Big Trouble Little China monster?
Yeah, why not?
I'm sure
or he could have fought, like, the bad guy could have also had, like, a ninja master that he had to fight. Some shit, you know?
Where does Big Trouble Little China fall in your list, dude? Because...
Because it's much better than the
fucking because I feel like it's top. Weird. It's weird that those are your other three.
It's not weird. It's great. It's great. It's definitive. It's a conversation starter.
Yeah, okay.
So your
it
favorite
is, you're right,
Stallone
you're right.
movie is Over the
Over
Top.
Over the Top, yeah. Oh, my God.
You guys jealous?
It's so
ridiculous.
The
guy that made First Blood and Rocky...
Cobra,
Copland.
They don't move me like
Cliffhang,
Over the Top.
Like Over the Top does every time.
Wow. Over the Top. Every single time.
Rocky
stop
Balboa.
Talking about Over the Top and I'll start
you're
crying.
You're going to get teary eyed?
Nope. Not tonight. We're not going to bring the tears out tonight. Can we do the other two?
No, can definitely
do,
not.
Can we do Over the Top?
I do want to do. I love Blind Over
Fury.
The Top.
Blind Fury in and Over the Top.
Ironic way.
Oh my god!
And Blind Fury is fun.
Blind Fury is a fun.
We're not going to do both of those.
Tear jerkers, man! You guys are missing out.
I forgot that Blind Fury was in Reno. That's fucking weird. Yeah. I don't remember a lot of that movie.
It's in like Vietnam and Reno and Florida.
Yeah.
You think Blind Samurai. That,
those are like weird, weird
Rutger Howard in Reno.
And it's got that lady with the crazy eyes that was in the first season of Cagney and Lacey and also was in Masters of the Universe.
Oh, shit.
Who was she in Masters of the Universe?
She was...
was she Evil-Lyn?
She was Evil-Lyn.
Yeah.
With
yeah,
the eyes.
I think we talked about Evil-Lyn because we were talking about reaching out to Evil-Lyn.
Yeah.
And we're wondering what she's been doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Write her a letter.
See if she wants to be on our podcast.
Write her like an old school letter.
Can we do that when we talk about Blind Fury?
Yeah. Can we write the letter on live on the podcast?
Oh, let's do it right now.
Dear Evil-Lyn and also Blind Fury.
Comma, chick from Blind Fury with crazy eyes.
She has great eyes. They're not crazy. They're like mesmerizing.
Yeah.
We've all seen her eyes.
She is.
She has captivating features.
I want to know why she didn't come back for season two of Cagney and Lacey. Anyway, McCleary walks in and gets the lowdown from Chun about Remo.
Right. It's like, and so that's when the training begins. And so
they move into a very nice loft.
They move into a loft, eat very nothing but rice.
Loft. A very spacious loft, yeah.
Teaches him how to breathe, does a bunch of pressure point bullshit on him.
It's a no fape loft.
Yeah, it is.
We find out.
No vaping.
Yeah, no vaping. No smoking.
Yeah.
Just rice.
Yeah, just
and
rice.
And soap operas.
Rice and soap operas.
There was a lot of Pai Mei stuff in this.
Yeah, sure.
Like, we were talking about that. There's a lot of stuff in Kill Bill that I was like, this some of that shit come from here.
They're pulling from the same stuff.
Yeah, everybody's pulling from the same stuff. Right. Yeah.
Then we also get introduced to this thing that they occasionally try and make a big deal, even though he constantly has no problem with it, which is his fear of height.
Yeah. He does really well.
Yeah. So they first introduced to it. He gets up on like the edge of the top of the building, right? They're on the roof. He gets up on the edge and he's like, he's a little nervous or whatever.
He's
and
like, fear's not going to kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
Fear is just a feeling.
It's a great line.
It's Dune. You know, fear is the mind killer. I'll let my fear, you know. Whole
this is
thing.
The second lesson. The first lesson is breathing.
Right.
Second lesson is control of your feelings.
Right.
Right.
And he feels fear. You feel angry. You feel hot.
Sure.
Yeah. It was a cool line. Yeah. I like that.
So he's hopping on this ledge and he's running around the building on the ledge.
Yeah.
Right. And so immediately he starts running around. He's okay.
Yeah.
And then we get the statue, or we get the Ferris wheel. We have the Statue of Liberty.
The Ferris wheel, he has to hang on to the Ferris wheel while it goes around. Yeah.
So there's
Which
a ton
has
of
another
stuff.
Great line in it. And on the Ferris wheel, where he's hanging on the side, and he goes, Jesus. And Chun's like, concentrate. This is no time for prayer.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty funny line.
Yeah, it's a pretty good line.
There's some great lines in this movie.
There are some good lines.
There's some good dialogue in this movie.
There is some good dialogue in this movie. I will.
The pace is a little slow, but there's some great dialogue in this.
We also get introduced to the bad guy.
And the heroine. So the bad guy, it's Captain Janeway, right?
Mulgrew. Red from Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, she's pretty. I mean, she gets really tough looking later. Mm-hmm. But she's pretty pretty.
She's believable as a military lady.
Yeah.
I mean, like looking at all the ladies in this movie, they're kind of
what other ladies?
Yeah, I know.
The police officer.
Fill me in on that real quick.
Yeah,
the police officer. The military. She was Kate Mulgrew. That's basically it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're not dainty like damsels in distress.
They're not.
Yeah.
You're
right.
Kate's got a mission. She's got to solve this case.
She's trying to solve this case.
I was wondering about that too early on. I was like, is she going to end up being a damsel in distress? Or she has to save it. She never does.
No.
She always keeps her shit together.
Kind of saves her, but yeah, not really.
Yeah, but it's not like she needs saving. She doesn't get kidnapped by people and stuff like that. No, she's a pretty tough. That's actually a pretty cool part.
That's pretty good for 85.
It is.
I mean, there were only two women in this movie.
And he never fucks her.
Yeah, exactly. And he never has sex with her. Yeah.
Right, which is definitely not James Bondish.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And then we get introduced to the bad guy who, by today's standards, he's just an entrepreneur.
But I mean, the 80s were the golden age of like businessmen, of evil businessmen.
Yeah. Like, that's when Lex Luthor became just a CEO.
That's right.
What he's doing is he made this company that makes these like shells. right? It's like
well, he's making guns.
He's making guns, but he's also a doing like
and he's working on Star Wars.
Yeah. On Star Wars, yeah.
But it's all kind of a
he's the one responsible for the prequels. God damn him!
Yeah, it's that fucking guy. They happened, you know, like 14 years after this. But,
yeah,
you know,
but
still.
You know, pre-production takes a while.
Yeah, but they're all it's all like defective shit that he's kind of like pulling a bit like pulling a scam and making a lot of money on it.
That's right.
Like a lot of money, like 1985, $900 million and shit like right? that.
They were $83.
$83. That's right.
Yeah, he was making like $1 billion in $83.
Yeah,
in 1985.
Yep.
Which yeah, that's
the computer specifically said. $950 million in 1983 dollars.
Right.
Which again, I feel like that's only like $1 million difference. If
what's
that.
Going on there?
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's a crazy time.
Reaganomics, dude.
I've never looked it up. I gotta look up the $83 versus $85.
Yeah, it's gonna be like
twice as much, man.
0.0004 Yeah,
inflation just blowing up.
But what he's doing is he's doing that. But I feel like he's not breaking any laws, really.
No, he definitely is. He's bribing officials, and
I feel like bribing officials is
breaking the law, though. Like
nowadays,
I mean, I get it. Everyone does it. They're just lobbyists. He's a lobbyist, yes. But he's also
it's the aviator thing, right? Like, right. Yeah. Like,
well, I mean, he's
just buying him shit.
Yeah.
Was there a big difference? Was there a big drop?
No, it's like a $4 difference. So like a 4% difference.
That computer was just being a fucking dick.
Yeah, but
well, I mean, 4% of $900 million is
actually,
but the dollar from 83 to today has gone up 163%.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's
actually incredible. I'm surprised it's that low.
Yeah, it should be like 400%.
It really should.
That's crazy. Well, I mean,
I remember buying a Snicker for a nickel.
Way those back. Were the days.
A moon pie.
I also am 178 years old, so.
But it's kind of like insider trading. He's, you know, scamming. That's what he's scamming the general. He's like making the general buy his weapons.
He's intentionally giving over weapons that don't work and then bribing people to pay him for them anyways.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that scene where they were testing him out.
And the guy blows his face off.
The guy gets his face blown off.
And,
yeah.
And it's also not espionage, but you know, he's it's a cover up. He's paying people off to cover up the fact that the weapons don't work.
Right.
There's a word for that, which is bad. I'm not a lawyer. And I've had 4 beers. So. Yeah.
And this is how Fleming gets introduced into it, because she starts like investigating.
Well, a dude's face blows up.
Yeah. So, yeah. But she's like kind of in charge of like investigating that, right? And figuring out, and they tell her to bury it. And that's when she's like, oh, something's awry here.
Something's going on here.
Something is amiss.
And then for some reason, Remo's just like, I'm going to go in there and fuck around in this building. And he 100% does that.
Yeah. The other guy tells him, like, we got to go do recon, right?
Because the clearing.
We were not sure what exactly the point of that was.
No, I'm talking about when he goes and he meets up with her in the elevator.
Yeah, oh, and then we meet Patrick Kilpatrick for the first time.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
The guy with the diamond tooth.
Yeah.
So this is one of my favorite fucking things.
This is a very James Bond. Like, so we haven't talked about this, but the director of this movie did a shit ton of James Bond movies. The writer of this movie did a shit ton of James Bond movies. The producer of these movies did a shit ton.
They were trying to do an American.
They were trying to do James Bond. Right. Yeah. This was based off a series of novels that they've done a ton, right?
Yeah.
They're the Destroyer.
There's over 100
something
of them.
Or another. Yeah.
But he shows up, meets her, hits on her a little bit in the elevator.
Yeah.
Right?
Little flirt, light flirting.
And then when he's leaving, Patrick Kilpatrick is taking pictures of her with this weird pin in his lapel.
Right.
And then Remo shows up, hits on her a little bit again, tries to get her cab, and then Patrick honks at him, and he eventually immediately goes. And almost kills him.
Almost kills this guy. Yeah. Puts him in a fucking
it's an interesting,
crazy chokehold.
It was an interesting choice.
Because he's in no faping lock. Yeah. And he has like all this new energy. He's got to release.
Look,
and all his testosterone.
And he does it on the guy, on the first guy that honks at
when
him.
When your body has become a human weapon.
That's true.
Yeah.
He just grabs him by the trachea and holds him. And then that's when the other female character.
That's when the other female character shows up. And she's pretty badass.
She is pretty badass.
She is actually.
You're going to meet the end of my fucking nightstick. Yeah.
She threatens to beat some cracker ass.
If you don't quit kung-fuing his neck.
Yeah, that's right. Kung-fuing his neck, which is a great line.
Yeah.
I want to use that line.
If you don't stop kung-fuing his neck.
Yeah.
Let me kung-fu your fucking neck. I'll do that.
I'll kung-fu a fucking neck.
I think maybe 7 years ago. The Tucson Toros were a thing in Tucson.
Yeah.
It was like a local baseball team.
They were
a
AAA baseball team, yeah.
And they had a celebrity tournament.
Uh-huh.
It was like the Toros versus celebrities.
Yeah.
So it was just like, you know, like news people.
Sure.
And a couple names here and there. And one of them was Patrick Kilpatrick.
Get the fuck out, really?
So he was in Tucson.
Wow.
And so I was at the Toros game. It was like also Dollar Beer Day, so it was pretty cool. And me and my friend were like, we got to go talk to this guy. We got to go get an autograph. but we both were too nervous to do it.
Really?
But he was just sitting there by himself. He was just sitting there by himself.
He was probably like, I wish someone would just come up and talk to
us. So we spent $4 and had 2 beers each, and then we went up and did it.
Nice.
We went up and met him. But we were like giddy the whole time. It was really weird because Patrick Kilpatrick is in like a lot of cool movies. He's in like Under Siege 2, Dark Territory.
Yeah,
that's right.
He's got a really good bad guy look.
That's when we're on the train. He's in Steven Seagal's daughter, super hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy. I mean, and also, this has been my favorite movie for a long time.
Yeah, so it was a big deal.
It was a big deal meeting this guy with a diamond tooth in Tucson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I got an autograph, and then at the end of it, we kind of just like blurted out our giddiness. He was like, oh, this is my favorite movie. And like my friend said something else about another movie. And then he was like, oh, blah, 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 blah. He was really...
Was he a nice guy?
He was very nice. And he was kind of appreciative that someone knew who he was.
Yeah, sure.
That's funny.
Because he was just sitting by himself at a table underneath the bleachers. It was a good day.
Nice.
That's cool.
It was a good day. Yeah. I was
Did he have somewhere. A diamond tooth?
No. And I think he just got a new knee. And he was on Nip Tuck at the time. So it was a while ago.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What did you get signed? Was it the Toro, like the ticket?
It was like the roster that they gave out. It was like a weird bookmark-shaped piece of paper.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Like somewhere.
The scorecard.
But his name in it? His name was in it.
His name was on
it. Okay, good.
And he signed it, yeah.
Nice.
Patrick Kilpatrick.
Did he have any hits? Was he a good baseball player?
Honestly, it was a dollar a beer day.
Yeah.
So I don't remember anything about
the game. Nobody's there for the fucking game.
Nobody cares about
the game.
This is for celebrities, man.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think Tuffy got tackled by someone.
Yeah?
Yeah. Tuffy the Toro, is that his name?
Yeah, sure. I think so, right? Yeah. I used to know the guy that was in that suit. He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
Now he has no job because the Toros don't exist anymore.
But who puts diamonds in their teeth?
Good question.
Well, the payoff is great.
This guy, he's just ahead of the curve, man. People are doing grills in like the 2000s. He was doing that shit in the 80s.
Yeah, he's a trendsetter. Yeah. This movie's trendsetting.
It is a trendsetting movie.
He has a fucking diamond in his tooth. It's fucking great. And then, Remo, like,
I mean, the payoff of it is really good.
Remo lets him go, and then it's like, all right, whatever. And then that's when he shows up on the radar, and they're like, who's this fucking guy?
Right.
He's connected to her. He's onto us. We have to kill him.
Right.
Remo goes to the Statue of Liberty with Chung.
They're doing, because again.
Well, this is after the.
After running.
After the training.
Oh, right. So after running on the sand.
Includes running on the sand, running so fast that you don't leave, or so light.
Legolasing it, as you said.
Yeah. Footprints.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He floats.
And then floating like you're in a fucking kung fu, you know, wire fu movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also. The most impressive of all skills, jumping into a big pile of sand and disappearing into it.
Yep.
And then popping out of the top.
Yeah, it's a useful skill.
That never comes up again.
It's a thing my action figures used to do.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. They just jump into the sand and then bah, bah.
But it is the one thing, because all these things come back later, right? All these skills that he learns, every single thing pays off at one point. The running across the sand, the height stuff, the dodging bullets, all this shit pays off.
The breathing stuff.
The breathing stuff.
Could have paid off a little bit better, but it does pay off, yeah.
He did well in that gas chamber.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's how it paid off, but they could have brought more attention to it.
Right.
Which definitely is a problem.
Yeah.
But, they did. He never jumps in sand.
Yeah, that's the one thing it's disappointing,
right?
It's probably a deleted scene.
Deleted scene, maybe.
We should watch the extras to double check.
We should really get that director's cut.
To get that, yeah.
We got to get that director's cut in here.
But he learns to run so fast, he doesn't leave footprints.
He doesn't leave footprints, and he floats over the sand.
Like floats over the sand.
Right.
Yeah. It was actually really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then he goes to the Statue of Liberty, which they're remodeling, like cleaning up, kind of.
Which was a real thing that was happening at the time.
Renovating, yeah.
Renovating.
And this is yet again a exercise to teach him not to be afraid of heights.
Right.
I guess.
I think he kind of got over it after this scene.
But then, no, because it still keeps getting brought up later. But the thing that's super hilarious about this scene, so fucking Diamond Tooth guy, Kilpatrick, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Patrick Kilpatrick.
Kilpatrick.
Which is a great
good
name.
Very good name.
Yeah.
So old Patty Kills shows up and is like, hey, construction dudes, you want to make a couple quick bucks? And they're like, yeah, we do. We're New York construction dudes. What we got to do? And he's like, here's $20. Go kill that guy. And they're like, hell yeah, we'll kill that guy. Fuck that guy. He's up on the statue. Yeah. And they get so fucking happy and excited to try and kill this strange man. These are just these are not like secret agent dudes.
Also, they super villain play with him.
Yes.
They don't go up and just push him.
No, they're laughing. They're like, hey, buddy.
Or throw a wrench at him from across.
They're cackling.
Yeah, they're cackling the whole time.
Hey, you going to get across this, huh? No, we're really rocking it, huh? You like when we rock it?
It gave me a lot of joy.
Boston right now, but
yeah, it gave me a lot of joy to see how much fun these guys were having.
They're really loving it.
Yeah. A ton of fun.
They're having a lot of fun.
Yeah. They're loving murder.
So the first thing they do is that they go up and then they're like, "Hey, you're not gonna get back over here. Yeah. You're gonna go down the fast way." And then he like ducks down and they're going up and stepping on.
Yeah, and he does some parkour shit. And then
the other guy's like loosening the bolts and having a fucking blast. And then they're gonna kill him. There's some amazing stunts in this.
This scene has a lot of great stunts.
Well, this
is your favorite scene.
This is in the top three scenes of this movie for sure. Yeah, this is definitely number one. When he's hanging off that pipe that they loosen up,
and he's just dangling off the side of the Statue of Liberty.
He's doing the pole boy thing from Mad Max, where he's just like swinging off and coming back.
You can tell he probably has like the jacket's there, so there's something connecting from the jacket that runs like into a harness that's connected.
But he's really up there.
It looks cool as hell.
There's like some funny like Buster Keaton esque moments where he's like hanging from a little. And he falls down to the one right below him and he doesn't realize it's there.
He's swinging
from ropes that swing from no reason out to his face back to the scaffolding. It's so bizarre. And then the guys are kicking the platforms that you walk on and he like trips and it makes it look like he's falling and the camera goes straight down Statue of Liberty down the lady's leg.
That's right. And then you see a sandbag that lands.
It looks very human-y.
It looks kind of human-y. It's like a human-y shape.
Yeah.
It's a big bag. It's not like a small sandbag.
It looks like a body that somebody wrapped in like a sandbag and then dropped
it down. Maybe there's a deleted scene where those guys killed another guy earlier and just wrapped him up. Probably.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
And
it would have been cool if he would have put his jacket on it.
That would have been good.
Just falls with his jacket.
It happens so fast.
Yeah, it does happen really fast.
But he's a ninja. He could have done it.
Also, his jacket's way cool.
His jacket is way cool. He doesn't want to lose that jacket.
He doesn't want to lose that jacket.
I mean, he could have gone back and got it, though.
No, because he has to kill those guys.
He does. So this is the great thing. So they think he's dead. They're ready to just bounce out and be like, hey, we got that guy. Fuck that guy.
Patrick Kirkpatrick and the other old man, too, are like...
They leave.
Done.
Yep.
They're just like watching from the bottom. And they're like, that sack that fell was Remo.
Yep.
We're getting out of here.
But he's like, no. I'm going to kill these guys.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. He's like, I'm going to beat some ass.
That's true. And why doesn't he kill these guys?
Because it can't make it look like an accident.
Oh.
Yes, he can. They're up on a fucking giant scaffolding. He could just push them.
It's too late. They're down to the pedestal part.
Nobody is watching.
When he catches up to them, he's down to the pedestal part of the Statue of Liberty, which isn't as much. I still feel
they're going to drop like 40 feet.
But Remo only kills like one guy, right?
He only kills like one guy.
No, he kills like three guys.
He kills like three or four. Two probably died in that car accident, and he killed the last one for sure.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, when he lit that stick on
fire. Well, earlier he killed...
With his fingers, yeah.
Those three guys in that car at the end.
Yes. Yeah.
So the other two guys probably died.
Right.
And he killed that last guy.
Anyway. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
So he goes after to beat those guys' ass. And at one point...
Oh, and he kills Patrick Kilpatrick in the gas chamber.
I think so, right?
Yes, because they say it. They say like there was an accident.
That's true, and the one fatality.
How do you live with someone sticking their fingers through your eyes?
That's just one eye, though. He only went through one eye.
Again, Kill Bill Volume 2.
Yeah.
Continue.
People have survived gunshots in the head.
We'll get there.
Anyways, so he goes after these guys. It looks like he's actually going to hang a dude, but then the noose somehow slips down to his foot, and he just ends up Batman-style hanging off the building.
It's also a really cool fight scene in and around that elevator, where he's like outside of it, then he's inside of it. That guy has that wrench with the super sharp end.
And they're stabbing him through the fence.
That's right. Yeah, which is a cool scene.
You know, the wrench stabber?
Yeah.
Everyone knows the knife wrench.
There's always a wrench stabber in an 80s movie. There's always a wrench stabber.
80% of construction mishaps are because of that knife wrench.
They will not get rid of it at the end. It's like, I just needed a wrench. I don't know why it has to have this giant sharp end.
Like, very sharp knife.
But they're like, no, that's... It's like, I can't even really get leverage without cutting my hand. Now you got to use the fucking knife end.
Hey, this regulation, right? Yeah. You got to thank the fucking unions for this.
Yeah, exactly. What are you going to do if you need a knife end? Well, I have a knife. Nope, not good enough.
No, look, you don't know what it was like before when we had to tie our knives to our wrenches, all right? That was rough.
That's right. It's like the old school bayonets where they actually had to tie.
Thank God for this. But anyway, it's a really cool fight scene in the elevator. It's really good stunts, really good fights. I like it a lot. And then he like leaves, and then we get the payoff of the running on sand.
Right, because one of the guys sees him and chases after him.
It's the guy that's with Patrick Kilpatrick.
Patrick Kilpatrick, exactly. And they start shooting at him.
Oh, he kills that guy too.
Kind of. Yeah. The cement kills him.
Yeah. for insurance purposes, the cement kills him.
The cement does kill him. But also, he could have been, he could have swam out of that pile of cement.
You think? Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think, but you know, you hear about guys in bridges and shit all the time because they fall into the cement. How hard is it to get out of cement? The guy that was watching him could have pulled him
out. Could have easily pulled him out.
The guy.
And also, why is that cement?
That guy was
like,
in shock. That guy was in shock. That guy was worthless.
I love that shock.
Who pours cement that's like 10 feet deep?
Yeah.
When are you, Statue of Liberty? They're probably making like a ledge that you sit on.
Yeah.
Like an auditorium type thing.
But maybe.
Remo runs over it. The guy thinks that it's just hard, a hard surface, but he doesn't know Remo can float. He doesn't know that.
No.
So he runs in, immediately floats in, disappears in like 5 seconds. Cut to, and this is one of my favorite things when they do it right in movies, an unnecessary cut to that's very funny. Yeah. And it's a cut to of a construction guy being like, what? It's completely unnecessary but very funny, and like I really appreciate shit like that.
It's good.
it was a good moment. It's probably one of those happy accidents where we're like, let's cut away from this, what do we got? And we're like, oh, we got the fucking weird reaction from the dude. Throw that in. Perfect. Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
That's why you get coverage, baby.
Yep.
So he's running from gunshots,
right?
And guy then, falls
guy
in cement.
Drowns in cement.
Is it
well, Patrick? We don't know if he drowns.
He definitely drowns.
Who gets the drop on him? Because he's just like done and he's like leaning over the ledge, and then another guy shows up with a gun. It was like Patrick Kilpatrick, and then John shows up and like takes care of him real quick.
Well, no, it's the guy you were excited to see that you didn't realize was him.
Oh, it was John Pulido.
Yeah.
It was John Pulido.
Yeah.
Oh, I love John Pulido.
That guy's cool.
Yeah. But
he plays a lot of mobsters.
He does. John takes care of him. And then doesn't tell him. It's kind of an interesting move. But anyway, then we go forward and then we go back to find out like, oh, this is, they find out like what's going on, kind of like Wilford Brimley, sort of. Right?
Well, and then they break into that room.
Yeah.
They break into this sort of abandoned facility.
No, but this is, we have a big reveal, which is
huge reveal,
which is that they're going to kill themselves.
Oh, right,
or
right.
If he's compromised, Chun will kill him.
We'll kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah. His master.
Tension right there. Oh, my gosh.
You got that cyanide pill.
And he goes back to confront him, and Chun's like, yeah, I'll 100% kill you.
Yeah.
That's sorry. What do you want me to do? I'm 112 years old.
But he says he'd regret it.
Yeah, he does say
it. So, I mean, it's like, Chun's been kind of beating up Remo this whole time.
Sure.
Yeah, he has.
He's been, like, putting him in his place.
Yeah.
And like,
he's keeping all those monosodium glutamates away from him.
By giving him just rice. He does teach him how to give the woman a perfect orgasm just through the wrist.
The wrist, yeah.
Right. By tapping through with the heartbeat.
A technique
on the wrist.
That I'm sure we all use.
Yeah.
Well, we will now.
Yeah. I did take notes.
Well, now.
I did,
yeah.
I have diagrams that I drew.
Ladies, keep that in mind.
All I need is a wrist now.
All I need is a wrist.
Yeah, but it is kind of it's an interesting moment that he has to like, oh, you're going to kill me? And he's like, yeah, I'll kill you. But, you know, we're like connected. Like, yeah, I'll feel bad
like
about it.
I regret it. I'll feel bad. But it's also crazy that there's basically four people in this organization.
Yeah. It's
and they
so weird.
All just want to die.
Yeah. They talk. They're like, yeah, that's what we'll do.
Right.
Like, Wilford Brimley seems like he really wants
to die. Wilford Brimley definitely does want to die. And he also mentions, he's like, we take our orders directly from the president. And I don't know who that is, though, because I don't vote.
Right? Yeah.
So,
they just made this up, right?
Like, yeah. It was like, this is all bullshit, right?
Yeah, this is like the seventh season of 24.
Yeah, like, where they're just like grasping at straws. They're just like, sure, we're an organization. We're called, I don't know, Claw.
Yeah.
No, it's one like Chloe and the other guy, the director that's married to the lady in the White House. They like go rogue and they bring, what's his name back?
Oh, yeah, yeah, they bring Kiefer Sutherland.
No, Kiefer Sutherland always comes back, but it was...
Alicia Cuthbert.
DeNozzo.
DeNozzo?
Anyway, speaking of 24, I think 24 is really inspired by Remo Williams?
That's definitely not true.
They basically have the same technology. I mean, the technology in 1985, Remo Williams, is the
and
same
in
thing as 24,
that
2006.
Supercomputer and,
yeah.
And like,
I mean,
president
super,
stuff?
Supercomputers have been showing up in movies. Maybe this was the first one. I don't remember. But supercomputers that the government uses to monitor everything and know all things is in a lot of movies.
They have like video clips of him with Boy Scouts.
It went from like old school, like low graphic computer stuff to like high quality video clips.
Yeah.
That's
which Wilford Brimley already had.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, Wilford Brimley, the whiz kid.
The whiz kid, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah,
the Steve Jobs of his era, Wilford Brimley.
They made this shit up. I don't know who they're fucking talking to. I mean, that would be a cool thing for the second movie if you find out that
whoever's giving
him orders is a bad guy.
Yeah.
Or it's like the supercomputer.
Or the sixth movie.
The supercomputer is actually telling them, is giving the orders by pretending to be a president or whatever.
Right.
It's a Skynet situation.
You just want that computer personality in this movie.
The computer needs a person. Look.
It's the Hydra, right?
It's an Apple II. It's an Apple II. How much more personality do you need?
They don't even play fucking Oregon Trail on that shit.
Yeah, they can't. So,
I mean, if Joss Whedon makes this movie, we cut to Wilford Brimley playing Oregon Trail at some point.
Dying of dysentery.
Yeah.
Mm.
So they go break into the bad guy's facility.
His weapons building facility.
I guess.
Which is cool. This is when we find out that McCleary has a fake arm.
That right. While he is not good at making guns, he is very good at deep blue seeing dogs.
Yes. Oh my God. This scene is fucking amazing.
This is a crazy goddamn scene.
It is. Well, we find out that he has a fake arm because there's an electrified fence and he just touches it with the wire cutters, no big deal. Not Remo Williams, but McCleary.
McCleary. Yeah.
And it's cool, and we're like, oh shit, the whole time you had a fake arm. Cool. And then they go in, and he goes in into this empty warehouse where these Dobermans are.
Right.
Three Dobermans.
Smart Dobermans.
Jesus Christ.
Not just very smart.
Like genius.
Acrobatic.
Yeah.
The only explanation, again, is that while this guy cannot develop weapons, he has somehow made super smart dogs with maybe robot brains or genetically engineered Jurassic Park dogs.
They took the brains from the construction workers.
Oh, and put them in the dogs. And
put them in the three dogs.
Oh, they Frankensteined it.
I like to think that that's what happened. Although,
that's good.
It seems like the dogs are smarter than the construction workers.
I agree probably with that statement. I agree with that statement.
Yeah.
And I think the women of New York would agree.
So it's really cool the way it happens because the dogs come out, he jumps up on this scaffolding thing, and then he comes up and he's like, "Nah, fine, this is good." And then the dogs are all barking, and then the one dog looks at the other dogs and then runs up the stairs.
Right. And then the two dogs pull down one of the ladders.
Yeah, one of those emergency ladders. Yeah.
It's so fucking cool. They both look up and then they both jump up, grab it with their fucking jaws and pull it down.
And then if that wasn't crazy enough,
what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
If that wasn't crazy enough, he goes across to a tightrope situation.
Yep.
And the goddamn dog follows him.
One of them follows him, yeah.
So fucking cool. Yeah, I was not expecting that awesomeness. Yeah.
That was good.
That was very good.
Lucha the Video Store Dog,
that was her favorite and least favorite part, because she got very upset. Very upset about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was fucking great.
We're halfway through the movie. You just introduced super intelligent Dobermans, and then you never bring them back?
Yeah.
That is a travesty.
You don't have to.
They're coming back in the sequel.
I guess.
No one else set up for that.
Is this a Hawkeye showing up in the middle of the first Thor movie situation?
Again, this is a cartoon thing for the cartoon.
That's true. For the cartoon, there's going to be super
smart. There's an army of them.
Yeah, Dobermans everywhere.
Maybe not an army.
A platoon?
Three of them.
I feel like a group of, more than three of them.
No.
If this was cops fighting crime,
or it's like a Bebop and Rocksteady situation where it's just the reoccurring ones.
One robot, yeah. Oh yeah, maybe. I feel like it's an army of, not an army, but a platoon of dogs.
A platoon,
like a dozen,
an A team worth of dogs.
Yeah, that's four of them.
Yeah,
in a van.
I think five.
Five in a van, right? Five in a van. But then he finds this weird super weapon thing that right away blows up with a laser.
Lasers, lots of lasers.
Lots of lasers. They get out.
Turns out
McCleary loses his arm to the super smart.
That's
dog.
Right. And then he gets shot in the back.
Oh yeah, that's right. He gets shot square in the middle of the
square in the spine.
There's blood. Second,
a little
blood.
Bit of blood, tiny bit.
Yeah,
of blood.
That's right. Yeah.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah, it was next place he breaks into, better have a wheelchair ramp because square in the spine.
Square in the spine.
It was in the spine. Yeah.
So he hands a film reel.
It's a weird computer thing. Reel.
Yeah.
Like mag tape or something.
Exactly. Yeah. He hands it over and he's like, you know, get to the chopper or whatever the fuck he says, and then he dies. And then
he said, get this to Wilford.
Right, exactly. Get this to Wilford Brimley. He'll know what to do.
And he did. And he laughed at it.
Yep. Yeah, Wilford Brimley looks at it and he's like, oh, this is all fake. And that's it. That's all I have.
But he immediately dies for some reason. But also, these soldiers that just shot this guy never take another shot as Remo Williams stands there, talks to him, and then leaves.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't die immediately. They like
he also doesn't die.
You're right, hook him up to a ventilator.
Yeah, he's like alive the next scene.
Yeah, the bad guys are like, this guy's not going to last much longer.
I just saw the movie 40 minutes ago, but you're right.
And you see him like grab a scalpel and like cut the tubes to his ventilators.
Yeah. He kills himself.
He kills himself. Which is like they talked about. Yeah, exactly. Early in the movie.
This is a movie about a suicide.
I wish I would have killed myself. Because Wilford Brimley really wants that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. This movie is about a suicide pact.
Yeah.
Where about a bunch of old soldiers that just really want to die because they cannot fit in with the modern world.
Which is a really good concept for a movie. Yeah. Because they have nothing to lose.
Season 7 of 24.
Season 7 of this show 24. That never got made.
All right. So Remo's really sad and McCleary dies. Wilford Brimley's.
For some reason, even though he barely knows this guy.
Yeah. Wilford Brimley is like.
Well, if you think about it, Remo died like a month ago.
Sure.
He has.
It's also been a month.
Now.
We should say that.
He has already learned
how to float and do crazy fake karate.
He's a chosen one.
He is the chosen one.
Right. He's got three friends. He doesn't have a girlfriend. He's not vaping.
Yeah. I don't think he has three friends.
Kate Mulgrew. Well, they all care enough to not want to kill him, but will if they have to.
And Chun.
I don't think any of those people are his friends. Maybe Chun. Chun is his father figure friend.
Yeah.
Are you not friends with father figures?
I'll give you Chun. That's what I'm saying. Like, Chun is a father figure friend.
McCleary named him after a toilet bedpan. I mean, that guy's obviously his friend.
Like a friend would do.
Yeah. I suppose.
And Wilford Brimley.
My friends give me nicknames based on bedpans, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wilford Brimley is just everyone's friend. He prevents diabetes for everybody.
That's true. And that was Fred was really worried about getting the BDs. So
right.
Yeah, Wilford Brimley tells him like, none of this matters. It's all fake. He made a fake weapon.
Right.
And he's like scamming money. He's probably gonna get away with it, and he's gonna make billions of dollars.
So instead, we're gonna kill that motherfucker.
So he's like, nobody's gonna stop him except for you.
Right. We're gonna do what we've been training you to do for. I don't know, 4 weeks and a day?
Yep.
Right.
Which is kill a man and make it look like an accident.
So, of course, when you're sent to kill a man and make it look like an accident, the first thing you have to do is break into a military base, make a huge scene, kill some other dudes, take a hostage, get the entire base on high alert.
Well, I also like how he breaks into this military, because it's led up by...
Kate Mulgrew?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's working under a general.
Yeah, she shows up, and then they're like, we have pictures of you with this Remo Williams guy. They don't know his name yet, but they're like, we have pictures of you. Who are you working for? And she's like, I don't know who the fuck you're talking about. I'm out.
Yeah.
She leaves, and
immediately
then... A truck drops by, and he just drops from it. Like, he grabbed onto the bottom and rode that motherfucker in, which is pretty dope.
Classic.
That's pretty dope.
He's wearing fatigues with his name on him. Yeah. It's fucking
great. Williams on it. Yeah, that was really funny.
That was really funny.
I think it's fucking great. Because it means that he...
Is this movie supposed to be funny?
It is really funny.
I know it is really funny.
It's like Hudson
is
Hawk,
it supposed
think, right?
to be funny?
It's supposed to be like a Hudson Hawk.
I think it's
Hawk
that like cheesy 80s vibe to it. There's, there's supposed to be like gritty action. With witty dialogue.
Funny. Yeah.
It's gritty action except for the parts where he can float and walk on water.
Well, those are necessary.
ninja
those are like
ninja,
necessary for the skills crazy to ninja. Have yeah. as an assassin.
Obviously those are necessary skills
people.
To
yeah.
have.
Yeah.
If you're a secret assassin working for a top
and
secret
their deaths are to look like accidents.
Yeah. Top secret military organization skill. With three other employees.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. He goes in there, he talks to her, and she's like, oh, who the fuck are you? Like, and then they have like this little like Joel and Niall type of thing.
Yeah, yeah,
they
end up, for sure.
Like running away and being hunted by the whole military.
Right, well, first they get led into a trap.
Oh, which
so
is a
the,
great
the guy shows up and is like, hey, Kate.
This is another one of my favorite scenes.
Hey, Captain Janeway, I got some stuff to show you. Come on with me. Leads her right into a trap.
And this guy, I really like this guy a lot because he did... really cool voices, and he did the voice of George Licker and Ren and Stimpy.
Right.
Which, look up George Licker and Ren and Stimpy because he's fucking amazing. He's fucking great. I have a George Licker doll.
It's right there.
Up on my thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just right there.
Yeah. In the other room.
Right here in the studio,
and
folks.
It's fucking great. Yeah. But anyway.
Anyway, so he leads them into a trap.
Yeah, in a really cool way where he's just
very
like,
James
we're
Bond.
Talking, you know, like, blah, 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 blah. And then all
super
of a sudden,
nonchalant.
He gets through a door and the door shuts, and then the door behind them shuts, and then gas starts pouring in.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be gassed. And this is, again, very James Bond moment. This is the moment where I'm expecting, okay, he's going to wake up and be in some sort of like death
trap. I thought so too. Yeah.
Right?
I also thought that they were going to bring more attention to the fact that he had learned how to breathe and hold.
That's another
and
thing.
Like that. And they don't bring attention to it, but that's obviously what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
He can hold his breath.
Yeah, he can hold his breath. He lasts longer than her. She passes out right away.
Mm-hmm. And he waits.
And then in a very James Bond villain move, Patrick Kilpatrick puts on a fucking
It's like,
mask.
I have kill in my name. I'm doing some killing.
He puts on his gas mask.
Which makes him sound like Darth Vader.
Gas chamber.
Yeah, he has like a very like, cool voice. And now he must fight him.
And they fight. And Remo overpowers him.
Oh, my God.
And uses his diamond tooth.
Explain it.
It's pretty good. This is a pretty good moment. This is pretty good.
Really good.
So Remo rips off his gas mask and he grabs Patrick Kilpatrick and he slams his face into this glass viewing window that people use.
And then he couldn't kick through before.
Right. This impenetrable glass. Unless you like break the surface a little bit.
Yep.
So he takes this guy, shoves his face into this glass, diamond tooth first.
It's so good.
And he moves his face across his glass, making an X.
Mm-hmm.
And then he throws Patrick Kilpatrick back onto the ground.
Yep.
Patrick Kilpatrick regains himself, throws his gas mask on, gets ready to start to attack Remo again. But Remo, because he's been training his fingers like Chun taught him, shoves his two fingers into this guy's eye.
Yeah, this is true.
Possibly rips his eye out. It looks like he
popped that eye. That eye popped.
He went through the eye.
That eye is destroyed.
Those fingers
went in.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
After pulling his fingers out of Patrick Kilpatrick's head, he's able to dive through that window.
Because he cut it with his fucking diamond tooth.
Yeah.
Which is fucking great. What a great payoff.
So many payoffs.
Really good.
Yeah.
So many payoffs.
Very good. You get the scene where they go and tell the evil businessman and the corrupt general, like, hey, there's been an accident. There's a man dead. And they're they kind of look at each other like, ha, 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 like, we got our guy.
We got Remo.
Yeah, we got Remo.
Nobody gets Remo.
And they're like, all right. They're like, oh no. Tell us what happened. And they're like, well, it's your man, sir.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right.
So then they set the entire military after him.
They start an entire operation to kill them.
They can tell where they are. They can tell, like, where
they have infrared, I guess.
Yeah, they have heat sensors, and then they also had this auditory.
It's a weird sonar thing. Yeah. And so they start blowing up part of the forest. We get
old Freddy's running from explosions. Then he jumps into a pile.
That happens later.
No, he's still running. They're blowing up.
So they steal that.
No,
they're Hicks car.
Oh, yeah, they're walking away from the. They're walking away from the gas chamber. That's true. Chun decides to show up.
Yeah,
and
a very funny scene.
Yeah, just checking on Remo.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they have a very funny scene.
He's like, I've been stomping around here for 10 minutes.
It's that classic like Looney Tunes bit where he goes behind the tree and then flies back out of there.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. They share some words. He talks down to the only other woman in the movie.
Again, he does a Pai Mei type of deal. He's just nothing but contempt for women.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
And then they go off on the rest of the adventure together, which includes stealing a truck.
Right. So on this top secret military base that has incredible security, there's just a couple of Hicks working on a truck.
Well, they were at the very edge. They pointed out on the map that they were like really close to the one edge.
Also,
okay.
Why are they doing their brakes in the middle of this dirt road?
It is weird.
In the middle of the wilderness. It was really weird because they steal this truck and they don't have brakes.
And they don't immediately have brakes. So they have the truck for like a minute and a half and then they smash the fuck out of it.
Yeah. Totally unnecessary.
Roll it down the.
They just.
Well, Remo and Kate Mulgrew are able to jump out of the truck.
Because they're like, jump. And then Chun is supposed to jump out of the other side.
And the truck rolls down the hill.
Right.
A ways. Like a lot. A long
way. And like smashes out. And then they're like, oh, are you okay? Like, yeah. And then.
Do you think it was just somewhere in the like when the producers were going through the script, they're like, hey, there's no car crashes.
Oh, yeah. They're like, we got to have some car crashes.
We got to have at least a car crash in here. What the fuck are you doing?
We already hired a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
They're good at car crashes. Let's do a car crash.
Yeah. Look, every James Bond movie we've had with a car crash did better than the ones we had without a car crash. So you're putting a car crash in this fucking movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He goes down. He opens up the door and
Chun, he can't find Chun at the top of the hill.
Yeah, right. He can't find him at the top of the hill. He opens up the wreckage, which is all fucked up, and Chun is just
hanging out. He's chilling.
He's
just chilling in there.
He's actually just kind of like laying down.
Yeah, and
he's like, in Korea, they make doorknobs that don't break or something like that.
Yeah. And all you see at first is like from like chest up, so we're like, oh shit, is
I thought he was just going to pull half of him out.
That would have been amazing.
And then that was going to be when he dies.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was really, really expecting Chun to die.
I was expecting that too, yeah.
I think it was the way it's set
best
up.
Part.
Yeah.
He is the best part.
He is the best part. And actually, the end is pretty good with him. But like, I was like, naturally, when he dies, and that's when Remo gets like the...
He powers up and he manifests into the hero that he has always meant to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
But no.
But they were saving that for the sequel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They were saving it. Well, it's the same thing.
That season three.
Mickey doesn't die until part three, right?
That's right.
Yeah, until Rambo 3.
Right.
So then he pulls them out. They're fine. And then he's like, I'm going to go fucking finish this up. And then we have the good moment with Chun when he's like, he calls him kind of a son, right?
Yeah, calls him my
he
son.
He calls him little
yeah.
father, all that
and
stuff.
And then he's
yeah.
like, little father, yeah. And then, but then he's like,
then
he
the
him
running
in,
from explosion.
He brings him in and he's like, don't embarrass us.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is pretty
or
good.
Or I too. Will kill you.
That's a good one. That was yeah. a really good moment.
Yeah, because yeah, it looked like he was going to tell him, like, you know, I'm proud of you or something. He's like, don't embarrass us, I'll kill yeah. you.
So then Remo gives his jacket to Kate Mulgrew.
Right.
Who so just he starts can have talking that. Nonstop.
Yeah. And how but it's also, and there's also a moment earlier where they almost kiss, but then he doesn't because he's not James Bond.
He's not James Bond.
And he never gets it in.
Yeah.
They also mentioned several times that he has no wife and no kids.
Yeah.
So
how do you quiet her down? By using your old ancient Korean orgasm trick.
Orgasm trick, right. Yeah.
Which was really funny.
That was.
Yeah.
Touches her wrist.
But also, and it's also, it's him doing it, not Remo.
Not Remo,
which
exactly.
is weird.
Yeah.
Kind of a weird choice.
Remo's got no time. He's like what's his name in Beverly Hills Cop? He's like
Axel Foley.
Yeah, he's like Axel Foley. He doesn't need women.
Yeah.
No.
Foley has times only for bits. Remo Williams has time only for ninja stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like boxers. They specifically tell boxers,
right.
don't
Weakens
have
the legs.
Sex. You can't have sex. Yep. Yeah, you lose all the legs.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. So anyway, he goes up. All the explosions happen. He falls out
and
he grabs onto a trunk. And
I think
trunk
my least favorite action scene in the entire movie.
Him hanging out from the
him
trunk.
Him just hanging off a truck, not doing anything.
Off of the tree. Because the tree
he
out.
Was defeating his fear of heights.
He'd already defeated that like five fucking times.
But he was showing
that.
Everyone it stuck.
He should have fucking been climbing
been
around
cool
that tree, dodging bullets, doing some shit.
Have a vertigo type of shot.
Yes.
Where he looks down and he's like, oh.
Something.
Yeah.
But he literally just turns away from the guy that's shooting at him and just closes his eyes and squints.
Yeah.
It's kind of pathetic.
Well, also, where was that trunk? What was that tree going?
They were moving logs. They were cutting trees down from the top of the mountain and transporting them to the bottom of the hill.
Who? The military was?
Evidently.
The loggers.
The loggers
that were contracted by the military
okay, all right.
to make log cabins for the soldiers.
That's right.
It checks out.
Yeah. But it's
President Reagan wanted a nice log cabin to completely solidify his man of the people image.
Yes.
So
it's important.
Know,
it was important.
It was important. Yeah.
The whole time they're on the Jeep, they're shooting at him. The bad guy does a very bad guy thing, which is he takes the gun away from the soldier and knocks him in the face with it.
That's
and
right.
Knocks him out of the
and
thing.
And shoots at him. And then he grabs the gun that's actually
the Gatling gun.
The one that's connected to the Jeep itself.
Or whatever it is.
And
he
fires it at Remo till Remo disappears behind a mountain.
Right.
And then they have to drive down the road even further.
And then Remo looks down and he's like, there's a whole bunch of fucking logs down there.
Yep.
Also, and he disconnects the log.
Right.
It drops on
all
the
other
logs.
The logs, Ewok style,
go
right into the Jeep.
The Jeep flips around a bunch of times. All right. So this is the thing. The thing is, he's supposed to be an assassin who makes it look like an accident.
Right.
This shit happens by accident. Like, he doesn't plan for the... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He looks on and he's like, oh, shit, I could use this.
Yeah. it's an improv
Like, it really
move.
Worked out well for him.
Yeah. Looks like an accident. Yeah.
Yeah.
So much luck happened.
Yeah. It's all
in
luck.
That moment.
It's all luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does make sense, and I've never read any of the books, but I like the idea that, it's about a secret government assassin, and his whole thing is to make it look like there was no one there at all. Like, I'm like, okay, that's a premise for a book series.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Okay, that's cool. But yeah, this is a total accident.
Yeah, it's luck. It's all luck.
Yeah, it's total luck.
He knocks him down. The Jeep goes all the way around.
And then you're like, well, movie over, right? You got him.
Well, because also he goes and he's Chun and her are like on a boat waiting for him.
Right.
Yeah, they're waiting for Remo to show up.
So you're like, he's going to just go there and fire. But then he goes onto the Jeep, checks it out. Everything's cool.
Turns
then,
out like fucking Freddy Krueger or some shit.
Yeah, no, he jumped out like Remo does like four times in this movie.
That's
true. He jumped out of the moving vehicle. Has a drop on him, and then we get the payoff to he can dodge bullets now.
That's right.
I mean, he's learned how to dodge bullets.
Yeah, he dodges a bullet. He does the same thing, which is take the clip, take all the bullets out, put the clip back in.
He didn't put the clip
what
back
I'm
in.
What I'm telling you,
Neil.
He did. He just threw them both sideways.
That's right. Yeah,
it's right. When you're ready.
It would have been cool if he put it back in.
Yeah, he should have. But he tosses the books, all that stuff, and then very clumsily flips him over the Jeep.
Oh, it's bad.
But
it's
he makes up
bad.
For it. He makes up
he
for it.
He makes up for it.
He does make
it. But it's so weird because, just get another take. Like, what the hell?
We just saw him dodge all the bullets, and then he's just like, oh, God. And then,
Yeah, we don't even see where he lands.
No, we don't see where he lands. It's a terrible stunt. It's a terrible action scene. Well, yes, then he picks up a branch. Describe this for us, Chris.
Well, he's walking. Well, the guy, after before he throws him, the guy asks him who he is, and he doesn't answer. He just throws him. And then he walks away, and he grabs a stick, and he starts rubbing it with his thumb, and then the stick just lights on fire.
Because that's how badass he is.
And then he tosses
some ninja magic bullshit.
He tosses a stick into a path of gasoline that's nicely laid out, and it leads straight back to the Jeep, and the fire just blows up the Jeep. And he walks away in slow motion.
Does he turn back and look at the fire?
Of course not. No, he doesn't.
Absolutely
not.
Of
course not.
Yep.
You don't do that. Right. You just don't do that.
Do badass. Not do that. So anyways, that part's pretty cool.
So
and then it looks like the military is going to catch him before they can get onto the boat.
Well, he gets to the boat and Chun's not there. And she's like, he went looking for you.
Right.
And then,
which seems out of character.
Like 70 soldiers show up.
Right.
A lot of soldiers show up.
They see Chun. He's on the beach surrounded by soldiers. And how is he going to get to the boat?
He fucking Jesus runs across style. Water.
Yep. He runs on water.
And he runs on water, and all the soldiers are so flabbergasted.
They just don't do anything.
That they are able...
They are so flabbergasted that not only do they watch him run all the way to the boat, get on the boat, Remo says goodbye to the girl, starts up the boat, slowly leaves out of the dock, and the soldiers are just like, huh.
Well, they can't shoot because of maritime law.
I think technicality. They were like, that was Jesus, I think. That was Jesus.
I think that was Jesus. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was a Korean man, but
that would have been sure awesome if they were just like all like dropped their guns and fall to their knees.
Just started like doing the cross and stuff.
And they started passing around fish to each other.
And like a beam of light comes from the sky.
That would have been pretty great, actually. Like,
But then they're like,
actually,
okay,
that should have been part of the sequel. Is like all of those dudes are now born again Christians.
Oh, they're like just worship just Chun. Like,
yeah, well, they worship Chun
again. If this is a cartoon, they make an organization
exactly
where they worship Chun.
But they're just like, no, man, Revelation is upon us. He has come again.
Yeah. All right, but they're like doing weird shit, like kidnapping people.
Obviously, they're doing some weird shit because they're going to be villains in season two. Yeah. Clearly, come on, man.
Yep. I'm really, really about the Remo Williams cartoon.
It would have been great.
Well, you would definitely need some new characters. Well, I mean, this whole ensemble, I think, would translate well into.
Yes.
Kate has to be there. Wilford Brimley has to be there.
The sassy supercomputer.
At least one of the dogs.
At least one dog animal sidekick.
Remo and Chun, and that's your ensemble there. That was perfect for a cartoon.
It is. Yep. It's actually like tailor-made for that.
Yeah. And then Remo.
And then just a cavalcade of crazy villains.
Yes.
Some of them will be mutants or cyborgs. In fact, some of them will be mutant cyborgs.
Yes. Right.
So,
right.
You know, it's the 80s.
Yeah. Some toxic dogs will show up.
Of course.
Yeah. All sorts of fun stuff. Well,
crazy ninjas everywhere. All the time, crazy ninjas.
I think it would have been awesome if Wilford Brimley would have been driving the boat.
Oh, that would have been great, actually. Cool. If he would have just shown up and be like, come on, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
The computer said you needed help.
Yeah.
But he was only there for one day, though.
Yeah, he was only there for one day. They couldn't get him on the boat.
There was no outdoor scene for him.
Wilford Brimley. He's like, I burn easily.
And the computer should have been controlling the boat. Like, the computer monitor is in the boat.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
We do get a cutaway. We do get a cutaway to old Will Brimley, who now has his tie tied again, and it's like, I guess I don't have to kill myself.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, great. I don't have to kill myself. Awesome. My life
I'll just keep living
in this small room
just
that I live in.
Me and this computer in this tiny basement.
All by myself. Now that McCleary's dead.
Only two people in this world even know I'm alive.
I can tie my tie, I guess, but who's going to notice?
Tinder's not a thing yet. Internet dating's not a thing for like 20 years.
I think it was classified ads.
Yeah, classified ads. Yeah.
Or that video dating. Where you go watch a VHS that somebody made.
Yeah.
But that I don't even think that was around yet.
No?
I don't think so. Personal ads were. But I think that VHS stuff wasn't until the 90s.
Wow. Lame.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the end of the movie.
That is the end of the movie.
This is very fun. This is a very fun movie.
It's a very fun...
cheesy 80s action movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
I would say it's my favorite movie of all time.
You've said it several times.
Yeah. And have said that. But even though it's your very favorite movie of all time, we have got to do our due diligence. It's just...
And how do we fix it?
We got to do it.
Obviously, you hire cast an Asian person.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Number one.
Number one. Yes.
Like immediately, you do that.
All right, number one, real Asian person.
What about that guy? What about the guy from Big Trouble?
More than two female characters.
Eh.
No, it definitely needs a few more female characters.
A few more female characters.
I mean, well, the movie does female characters really well in this, so I think adding more would be...
We didn't mention this, but it did have the great line where he's like, you know, like, I'll back you even though you're a woman. And then she's like, oh, yeah, like, I'll back you even though you're a man.
Yeah.
Like, it's a pretty cool little moment. Yeah.
So, yeah.
If you're saying more tits, really well. Obviously I'm going to agree with you on that.
we're not saying more tits. I think we're just saying more women.
I think you said more tits. Yeah.
All right.
No, but yeah, it does a good job. It does a good job of not making a damsel in distress.
No, for sure.
Whiny character that was so fucking prevalent.
But
yes,
obviously if you can bring in like the guy with the weird eye from Big Trouble as Chen.
Yeah.
You do that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
Just an Asian guy.
Just anything's better than Joel Grey.
He literally says he's Korean, though, so Korean, maybe get a Korean guy.
Maybe get a Korean guy. But Korean guys weren't in movies till like the 2000s.
That's true. I mean, I was also thinking Mako, but he's Japanese, but yeah, Mako would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's number one.
I mean, that's a real thing, though. Come on, guys. We've done this before.
No, that's very important. Jokes. No, let's reiterate.
it's important for there to be no an matter what, Korean guy.
Actual Korean guy playing the Korean, please.
I mean, I like the cartoon, I think. Kind
I mean, actually, can we just not do the movie and do the cartoon? Because I feel like the cartoon would be 100 times better.
I do think maybe making this an animated series would be pretty sweet.
I'm very on board with that.
And can we actually... Making this a cartoon and then making it a movie from the cartoon would be the best scenario
the movie would be very bad then, though. Yeah. Have you seen Transformers? Have you seen Michael Bay's Transformers?
I have.
Master Universe is a classic. We're going to talk about that soon.
Yep.
But,
Jesus Christ.
You haven't done Master of the Universe yet?
We're going to.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Very soon.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah. We've been leading up for like 100 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's 100 episodes of this?
There's like 150, my guy.
Oh, there's 99.
There was 105 movies that we covered originally, plus all the movies that we just pulled out of our ass.
Well, and all the shorts and the live episodes everything. Yeah.
We've been doing
this for a while. That's why we're super rich off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think another cool thing that would make this movie better is more lasers.
Definitely more lasers. They introduced the idea that there's those
car chases, accidents, maybe more spy-ish type stuff.
Also, I would have liked to
see... We can Mission Impossible it up some.
Yeah. I would have liked to see them actually assassin a guy, making it look like an accident earlier on.
Yes. You got to have that like James Bond opening sequence.
So that you were like, oh, that was cool.
And that guy messed up, so they had to kill him?
Yeah.
Something.
So that's why they had to replace him with this New York cop. Get him with Raymond
Williams. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
That's the opening, not the him fighting a bunch of dudes in the streets.
You do too. You do that one and then you lead into the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely could have done that. That would have been cool. But
I think more ninja shit.
More lasers, more high-tech shit, and more ninja shit.
More high-tech, like, just go over the top with it, man. Lasers, fucking smart dogs with cyborg brains, him floating around doing fucking ninjutsu and shit. Like,
Tsunanji.
Tsunanji. Maybe a guy with, like, robot hands. That would have been cool.
Oh, robot hand guy.
Patrick is pretty close, but if he would have had robot hands, I would have been
And again, I think we need a mutant in there. We need some mutants.
Yeah, exactly.
We definitely need some mutants.
Huh. I mean, the Diamond Tooth thing was cool, but again.
It was, but he could have had cyborg hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if he had cyborg hands that were also diamonds so they could cut through anything, but then Remo Williams uses it to cut through the window?
No, the tooth is too perfect.
The tooth is too perfect.
Yeah.
You can't.
Maybe there's another guy with robot hands, and then he uses those. You know, remember how he has the one chokehold on the guy, but maybe he uses his own robot hands against him?
Instead of the scene where he tells the military, like, we have to capture these guys, like, it's a matter of national security. I'll repeat, it's a matter of national security. There should have been a scene where they just open this pod and this cyborg guy comes out.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a guy that he killed earlier. Yes. Oh, it's Patrick Kilpatrick as a cyborg. Like, well, they brought him back to life.
No, it's that soldier from the field experiment.
Oh, the one that blew up his face. Yeah. Oh, my God. Of course.
Of course it's that guy.
And he comes back and he's like a half cyborg monster. He's a robo.
And they let him loose
into the fucking woods. See, now we're talking.
Now we're talking.
And then we also got our instant spinoff.
Turn it up to 11.
Turned it up to 11.
We get our spinoff robot, Robo GI.
Yeah.
So after that guy eventually becomes, he realizes that he's being used and he becomes a good guy and teams up with Remo Williams.
Yeah.
And then he gets his own spinoff.
This is all perfect for the fucking cartoon.
Yeah.
This is so perfect for the cartoon.
Yeah. Again, let's just make a cartoon.
Yeah. All right. I think
let's
we
go
fix
back
it.
To 1980.
1985.
Make 1985, exactly. And just make a super awesome kids cartoon.
Yes.
When did the Rambo cartoon come out?
Around the same time.
It was
they
after the
just
second
recycled
one?
The animation.
Yeah. Oh yeah. and then changed it.
Oh yeah, we can do that.
We just got to change like the voice and the
and look. There was the RoboCop cartoon. There's a bunch of cartoons. We can just like the Conan cartoon. We can do some touch-ups.
I love that
shit.
We got cartoons based on hard R-rated movies.
Oh, yeah. It's the best.
That was fucking awesome.
It's the goddamn best.
Those were the days.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Do we fix this movie?
Yeah, we definitely fixed it, and we'll be back next week. We've got a few more left on the countdown. Again, remember to share, like, subscribe, tell your friends, give us that 5 stars over on iTunes, email us, blockbustersoulja@gmail.com, check out the Insta,
yeah,
and let us know what you think, and let us know if there's any movies that you positively, absolutely have to have us talk about before we leave the 80s forever, never to talk about ever again.
Ever again, no. Not even in the 90s.
Nope. Yeah. But until next week, I'd want to thank Chris.
Yeah. Oh, thank you guys for
you
having me.
You got a plug.
Oh, yes. Plug stuff.
Follow me on Instagram at Elephant Scout. And that's where you can see all my filmmaking stuff.
Yeah. And then do you have a feature that's going to be on?
Yeah, pretty soon we're going to release a feature called Eddie Mummy, A Love Story. It's a rom-com with the mummy in it. Very much like Encino Man, a movie that came out in the 90s.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's definitely like a throwback. Like a throwback romantic comedy.
Throwback little rom-com, yeah. Monster rom-com.
So it's just going to be on Amazon?
Amazon Prime.
All right, cool.
Check it out and definitely follow him on Insta and follow us. And until next week, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Andy.
I'm Chris Scott.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.